Grace, mercy, and peace be on you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. But most of us don't believe that, do we? I mean, not really. We explain it away by saying that Jesus wasn't really being literal. He was trying to make a point about faith. And so he was using hyperbole and speaking in metaphorical language. And yet, when Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, they obeyed him. When Moses raised his staff over the sea, the waters divided. When Elijah prayed on Mount Carmel, fire fell from heaven. So, perhaps, if we're being honest with ourselves and faithful to the record of God's word, perhaps causing a mountain to move from here to there really isn't that crazy at all. Perhaps Jesus was being completely literal. I know the little boy in the movie clip that we just watched prior to his message, he thought so. He took Jesus at his word. And he was convinced that he could move a mountain by the sheer force of his faith. He believed it so firmly that he was willing to attempt to move a mountain with the whole town there watching, in spite of their laughter and their taunts. Because you see, this little boy, he wanted to bring his father home from war. And he believed that if he could move a mountain, then he could surely also bring his dad back home. What the clip that we watched didn't show is what happened next. As the little boy focused all of his energy and will and faith on moving that mountain, suddenly that little California seaside town experienced an earthquake. And all of the mocking townspeople suddenly got a different perspective on those words of Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew, after Jesus had cursed a fig tree and it then died, he said to his disciples this, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. And therein lay the key to unlocking the power of God. It's about faith devoid of any doubt. It's about certainty and conviction and confidence, absent of any wavering or reconsidering. Our text today from Hebrews 10 states, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. That's the kind of faith that Paul exhibited as he spoke of God's love for us, his redeemed children, when he wrote this, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's the kind of faith that Job demonstrated. Even after he lost his health and his home and his family, when he stated of God, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. And also when he said these words, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. That's the kind of faith that David evidenced in the writing of the 23rd Psalm, when he wrote, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think too often we are too much like the people of that town, scoffing at the idea that the moving of mountains is even possible. We somehow believe and have become convinced that miracles and mountain-moving faith and illness-healing prayers all ascended into heaven when Jesus ascended into heaven. And that those words of Jesus concerning such power weren't really meant to be taken literally. But you see, the problem is not with Jesus' words, but with our faith. Too often we doubt. Too often we worry. Too often we are seduced by the lies and the temptations of Satan. Too often we don't have an unswerving faith in the hope that we confess. But we have a very shaky, hesitant, uncertain faith in the hope we confess. So how do we get that unswerving faith, that conviction of Paul, that certainty of Job, and that confidence of David? We do it by remembering what our hope is and why we have it. Our hope is that the kingdom of heaven has been opened to us despite our sin and in spite of our death. As Daniel wrote in our Old Testament reading today, multitudes who sleep in the dust of death or dust of the earth will awake. That's us. When? On the day of resurrection. And then he says, some to everlasting life. That's also us. Again, how can we know that? We know it because of the blood of Jesus. His sacrifice paid the debt of our sin. Our hope is for an eternity with God in His kingdom. And the reason that we can hold unswervingly to that hope is because always of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. He paid for our sins and He conquered our death. And thus our hope for heaven does not need to be simply wishful or wistful thinking and dreaming, but it can be, and it should be, unswerving, unwavering confidence, certainty, and conviction. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end He will stand upon the earth, And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. For I am convinced, neither death nor life nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May we each have such an unswerving hold on the hope that is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. To God and God alone be the glory. Amen.